We're so happy to be here. We're happy to have the church family all together here for this service. And we hope that all of you that are listening by way of the internet will be blessed by this service entitled The Second Eve. Some might consider it Church Membership Part 7. We will be considering the subject, the second Eve. It's not the Eve like the evening or the morning, it's Eve the woman. On the board I have the first Adam, the first Eve, the second Adam, and the second Eve. We want to first turn to Genesis 2 and read from there, starting in verse 7. Genesis 2:7. And Yah, the Almighty One, formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, or the spirit of life. And man became a living soul. And skipping on over to verse 15, reading through verse 24, and Yah, the Almighty One, took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And Yah, the Almighty One, commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And Yah, the Almighty One, said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him, or I will make him a companion suitable for him. And out of the ground, Yah, the Almighty One, formed every beast of the field, etc. Adam named them and so forth. And then we go to verse 21. And Yah, the Almighty One, caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh inside thereof. And the rib, which Yah, the Almighty, had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman or wife, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, or his woman, and they shall be one flesh. There is no room here at all for multiple husbands and wives. The design at creation was one husband, one wife, two becoming one flesh. That was marriage from the beginning. Christ talks about it in Matthew 19, 4 through 6. Let's turn there. Matthew 19, 4 through 6. And he, Yahshua, answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall twain, or two, shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore Yah hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And then in 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. That's from Genesis 2:7. The last, Adam, was made a quickening or life-giving spirit. So we have a first Adam and we have a last Adam, or what is also referred to as the second Adam, which is Christ. The first Adam was a living soul. The second Adam, a living spirit, a life-giving spirit. Adam and Eve were married by Yah himself. And now we want to look at the first Eve just a little bit. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:12. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 12. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things come from Yah. The woman came from man. And then the man came from woman. In the Bible, when you read the word woman, it's really the same word as wife. Fairly much throughout the Bible, wife and woman are interchangeable in the Bible. Genesis 3:20 says this. Let's turn there concerning the first woman. Genesis 3:20. Adam called his wife, or woman, he called his wife's name Eve, E-V-E, because she was the mother of all living. Actually, Eve means life. So the first Eve is the mother of all the living. Human beings, that is. Now let's look at something in Paul's writings. 1 Timothy 2:14. Adam was not deceived, well, look at verse 13, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And you remember that when Yah gave instructions about what to eat and not to eat, Adam was alive at that time. And Yah was talking to Adam. Eve had not yet been created. So the instruction about what was good to eat and what was not good to eat was given to Adam before Eve being created. It says, Adam was first formed, then Eve. Verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. So the first Eve was deceived. And she did not trust her husband. Adam had given her instruction concerning what to eat and what not to eat. And Eve doubted her husband, questioned her husband, did not trust the instruction of the man. Now, in the Old Testament, we have some rules concerning marriage. And they were to apply throughout time. Let's look at Exodus 34. Exodus 34, 10 through 17. And he said, Behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of Yah. For it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Terrible means impressive. It is an impressive thing that Yah will do with his people. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god. For Yah, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous Almighty One. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. And then in Deuteronomy 7, 1 through 7, when Yah, the Almighty, shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou, and when Yah, the Almighty, shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shall not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt take thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of Yah be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. The rules for marriage were, you must marry within your own people. You must not marry outside of the family of Yah. And this was the law that applied to the family, the human family, from the beginning. Now we're going to take a little look at the second Adam. And before we go any further with that, I want to explain something. Yah himself said it was not good that man should live alone. So he provided man a compatible helper that he might have a wife. Yahshua, the only begotten son of the Father, was sent to earth and became a human being. He went back to heaven as a human being, and he remains a human being. He partook of the flesh of the woman. He was conceived of a virgin and came forth in human flesh. The first woman, the first Eve, came from the flesh of man. The second Adam came from the flesh of woman. And Yahshua was to go back to heaven as a human being. But it is not good that man should live alone. Do you hear me, church? Yahshua was not to live in heaven without a wife. But he had to pay a dear price for that wife. And throughout the scriptures, you see examples of men paying prices for their women. Yahshua spilt his own blood, his precious, pure blood, gave his very life for the church. That was his wife to be. And one of these days, he will take the second Eve home to his father's house to live forever. But Yahshua was not to live alone as a human being forever. He's to have a compatible helper throughout eternity, just as the first Adam did. Or was to have. Now, let us look at a few scriptures. We've already said that in 1 Corinthians 15:45 it says that the last Adam was a life-giving spirit. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11:12 again. 1 Corinthians 11, 12. For as the woman is of the man, even so the man also by the woman. So the second Adam came from woman. Revelation 12, 13 supports that. Let's look at it. Revelation 12, 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. It's that woman in Revelation 12, 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. That's the second Eve. Having the man-child. Giving birth. It's an interesting thought. There might be some deep symbology here. Actually, the second Eve gives birth to her husband to be. We may need to meditate on that one in a little while. So we're talking about the second Adam, Christ, who is called the bridegroom. Let's look at John 3:29. Actually, it's not what I said a moment ago about that symbolism. It's not altogether surprising since the first Adam basically gave birth to his wife. It's not surprising that the second Eve would give birth to her husband. In the spiritual, things sometimes are reversed. In the spiritual, to go to heaven, you must go down. In the physical, in order to get up, you must climb up. But in the spiritual, in order to go up, you must go down. You must humble yourself. So there are some ironical differences, very significant differences. John 3:29 says this, He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. This is John the Baptist testifying that Yahshua is the bridegroom. John the Baptist is as the best man, or the friend of the bridegroom. Yahshua himself describes himself as the bridegroom in Matthew 9:15. Matthew 9:15 says this, And Yahshua said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. So the second Adam is the bridegroom. We can look at a couple of other scriptures in the Old Testament, Isaiah 62:5. Referring to this marriage scenario. Isaiah 62:5. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy Almighty Yah rejoice over thee. Do you think Yah would choose a harlot for his only begotten son? You know, it was tradition that the parents would choose a woman for their son among the children of Israel. The Father in heaven has chosen a wife for his son. Would he choose a harlot? And let me ask you the second question, would he choose more than one woman? No. He has chosen a pure virgin, a chaste virgin, and he has chosen only one woman. What Yah has joined together, let not man put asunder. Right. It's only what Yah joined together. No man can put asunder. Right. That's right. Yeah, they were abominations. No, I chose them. I was a harlot. What do you call it? A whoring after other gods before. Yes, of course. It's obvious. Handpicked by Yah.
And I believe that God should pick our mates.
Yes, right. And Yah has chosen a suitable bride for his only begotten son. And it's the second Eve, the church, the true church. And today there is a visible bride. Now, she has not shown herself yet. Let's read on. In Hosea 2:19, Hosea 2:19 and 20. And I will betroth thee unto me. Yah is talking here now. I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment, and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know Yah. Now the word betroth in our time has taken on the meaning of engagement. And in our day, engagement is watered down. In the Hebrew tradition, betrothal was binding like a marriage. The consummation of the marriage had not yet come. The two had not yet become one flesh through the act of intercourse, but they were considered the same as man and wife, so to speak. The commitment was one which required, if it were to be disannulled, You remember, Joseph was thinking about putting away Mary secretly because she was no longer a virgin, he thought. And the angel instructed him that she was to bear the Son of Yah, the Messiah. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 24, it gave provision for putting away an unclean woman. Yah has always designed that His children, His sons, take virgin women. If they found them not to be virgins, they could legally put them away. Yah has chosen a virgin woman for His son. And what is a virgin woman? A virgin woman is one that has not been penetrated by the flesh. You hear some Christians talking about sins of the flesh. Oh, that's only a sin of the flesh. Or you hear others talking about carnal Christians. That means fleshly Christians. Carnal Christian and fleshly Christian would be the same thing. But the bride of Christ, the wife of the Lamb, is a virgin. She has not been penetrated by the flesh. That means she is not guilty of any of the sins of the flesh. Or the lust of the flesh. Well, let's look at the second Eve a little closer. She, like the first Eve, is a mother of the living. When you are born again, the scripture says you must be born again. When you're born again, you're born through the second Eve. You say, "Preacher, how is that now?" Well, you're born of the Spirit. And the Spirit came upon the woman and conceived a child, the man-child, Yahshua. When we take the seed of Yahshua, we're taking the seed of the woman, the second Eve. We read about her in Revelation 12:17. She's that pure woman that was with a man-child. She is the mother of the living, as the first Eve was called the mother of all the living. Ephesians 5 really gives us a beautiful picture. Let's look at that. Ephesians 5. We're going to start at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto Yah. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. That's the price He paid for that wife. that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, these words here are talking about the blemish that would come by the penetration of the flesh. If you read the Old Testament and see how they tested to see if a woman was a virgin, you'll understand more of this. If there's an issue of blood, if there's a blemish somewhere, a spot or wrinkle, it will show that they are not a virgin. He intends to present to himself a woman, a church, a wife, a virgin, proven to be without blemish, unpenetrated by the flesh. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as Yah, or Yahshua, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall, the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. First Corinthians 12:27. We need to rush right along here. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Ye are the second Eve. Ye are the body of Christ. The two, the God-man and the God-woman, become one spirit together. First Corinthians 12, 13, 14, and 20. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. There's a marriage right there. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. One body, one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many members. Yes, there are many members, but one body and one spirit. Matthew 24:24 gives us a comparison between the second Eve and the first Eve. Matthew 24:24 says, for there shall arise false messiahs, false prophets, shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. But it's not possible. The Scripture says the first Eve was deceived and fell into transgression. But the second Eve will not be deceived. Revelation 14:4 gives us a little bit more concerning the second Eve. Revelation 14:4 says, "These are they which were not defiled with women." They were not defiled by becoming wives like the harlot and the harlot daughters. "For they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth." These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto Yah and to the Lamb. They are virgins. And you know there's a law concerning the virgins, which we will get to here. Let's look at some of the marriage law here in the New Testament. Romans 7. Very briefly, we will look at that. Romans 7, 1 through 4. "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak unto them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she is married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no longer an adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto Yah." When the old man is dead, when the old man of self and selfishness is dead and buried, we are free to marry another. We are free to marry Christ. And our baptism shows that marriage covenant. And when we sign our baptismal vow and our church covenant, we set our seal to that marriage. In fact, that's the marriage certificate. Where did the tradition come from of the woman taking the husband's name? Mary, you took the name of your husband. Sister Dot, you took the name of your husband. All of the women here took the name of their husband. Where did that come from? That was the tradition of Hebrew marriage. You take the name of your husband. It was commonly understood that the wife would come to the husband's house. Many times it would be at the father's house of the husband. And the woman was to become a part of their family, taking on their family name. The second Eve has to take on the husband's name. The church must have a name. And it must be a name that Yah has given her. The name of his people. There's only one Eve now. Don't mistake it. There's only one Eve. There's not the Eve that's called Baptist, and the Eve that's called Methodist, and the Eve that's called Presbyterian, and the Eve that's called Historic Seventh-day Adventist, or the Eve that's called founded in 1992 by Seventh-day Adventist believers. There's one Eve. There's one body, there's one spirit, and Yah has given his bride a name. And that name is Creation Seventh-day Adventist. The woman that Yah chose for his son. I speak under the authority of heaven I do not speak foolishly on this matter. She is to be a virgin. She is to be pure, without spot and without blemish. She is to be unpenetrated by the flesh. And there are creation Seventh-day Adventists all around the world today. That are awaiting the marriage. They're awaiting the time to set their seal on the marriage certificate. For they are virgins. Many are called, but few are chosen. The bridegroom is making ready. The bride is making herself ready. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. First Corinthians 6:15-17. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of the Messiah? Shall I then take the members of the Messiah and make them the members of a harlot? Yah forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto Yahshua is one spirit. Brothers and sisters, internet audience, all who hear these tapes and these sermons, I tell you by the authority of Yah in heaven, in this generation, you cannot be rightly married to Yahshua without following the angel's instruction of Revelation 18, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people, and join the bride. Join the virgins, the wise virgins of Matthew 25. Enter into the marriage. Be sealed among your tribes. The time has come for the sealing to be consummated. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Come out from among them and be ye separate, says Yah. In fact, he says it right here in the following scriptures. He says, what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of Yah with idols? For ye are the temple of the living Almighty One. As Yah hath said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their Almighty One, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith Yah, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith Yah, the Almighty One. Having therefore these promises, chapter 7, verse 1, 2 Corinthians, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of Yah. Oh, there's much more to be said on these subjects. There is a mother of harlots in Revelation 17, 5 and 6. We read about it. Turn there for a moment. Revelation 17, 5 and 6. And upon her forehead was a name written. Every woman, every wife has a name that they take according to their husband. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Yahshua. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst you marvel? I will tell thee that the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. Do you know that it's an abomination to lie with a beast? Exodus 22:19 says, To lie with a beast, you should be killed. Look at Leviticus 18:23. Leviticus 18:23. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. It is Babylon. This woman is riding a beast, not only standing in front of it to lie down, she's riding the thing, full of confusion, full of the abominations of the earth. Who is the mother of harlots? The Roman Catholic Church system represents the mother of harlots. The second Eve is the mother of the living. Who are the harlot daughters? The harlot daughters are all of the Sunday-keeping churches. It doesn't matter how much gospel they claim to have, they're harlot daughters. And it's an abomination. They cannot be part of the virgin wife. You must come out of those daughters. You must come out of that harlot. And there's one other. The sister harlot. Who is the sister harlot? Oh, it is the General Conference Seventh-day Adventist Church and its daughters, now taking on the historic Seventh-day Adventists, who are founded in such and such a year by such and such believers. They are the sister harlots' daughters. And you must come out of them as well. Come out of that confusion. Don't lie down for that beast, that two-horned beast that seeks to force you, to force your conscience in matters of religion. It's an abomination. You are to be a virgin, free from the influence of the beast, free from the influence of the flesh. Ye are to trust in the Father and the Son and prepare for the consummation of the wedding. Matthew 19. Matthew 19, 8 and 9. Yahshua saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. Christ is not going to marry a harlot, and he's not going to marry a divorced woman. He's going to marry a virgin. One who is not defiled like the other women. He's not going to marry the mother of harlots. He's not going to marry the daughter of harlots. He's not going to marry the sister harlot. And he's not going to marry the daughter of the daughters of the sister harlot. He's going to marry and take Yahshua's wife is going to be the second Eve, the body of Messiah, those that do the will of the Father. Revelation 19, 6 through 9. Revelation 16, 6 through 9. For they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. Sorry. Revelation 19, 6 through 9. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for Yah the Almighty Omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of Yah. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said to me, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, that have the testimony of Yahshua. Worship Yah, for the testimony of Yahshua is the spirit of prophecy. And Revelation 22:17 to close. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Come out of her, my people. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Come, dearly beloved, come to the spring from which flow everlasting waters, so that you might drink and never thirst again. Join the bride that is preparing for her husband. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you so much for showing us the way home. Thank you for showing us the symbolism of marriage and the sacred elements therein. Thank you that you have selected a pure virgin, a wife, for your son. And he will soon come to her house and escort her back home to the Father's house. For in his Father's house are many mansions. And he said he would go to prepare a place. And he said if he would go to prepare a place, he would come again to receive her unto himself. Thank you, Father, that you're not going to choose a harlot or a harlot daughter, a sister harlot, or the daughters of that sister harlot. No, you've chosen a pure virgin woman, one who has the testimony of Yahshua. We do always those things that please our Father. And we thank you, Father, for hearing us and blessing us with this Sabbath blessing. Dismiss us from this place with your love. And may all of your children come out of Babylon and join the bride. In Yahshua's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.